It's Women's History Month, and for some of you, that might conjure up memories of women you learned about in school, people like Mary Todd Lincoln or Amelia Earhart. What about the local women who have made contributions to the community where you live? Last week, we talked to Katie Stilp, the local history librarian at the Appleton Public Library. She put together an exhibit at the Appleton Historical Society about 20 notable women from Appleton. Though the Historical Society is now closed until further notice, we still wanted to share some of the stories that she found. Here's a listen.
Thanks for having me.
What inspired you to look at the stories of women from Appleton's past and in some cases present?
So this started with a program that I did at Heritage Hill last summer on women's history. It was just a celebrating women's history kind of celebration. I thought it was really important to research these women because they're people that you should know, but maybe you don't know.
What are some of the challenges in finding information about women, even once you've figured out who you want to talk about?
So it's really tricky compared to men because historically women didn't always leave the same paper trail as men. It's part of the reason because they didn't have the same legal status as men did at that time. So if you think about like citizenship, men would leave a paper trail and they would become citizens. But the female, she would become a citizen under her husband. So her name sometimes wasn't even named on the paperwork.
Right. A woman's first name might not even be in, I think I saw you quoted somewhere, in their obituary. They might be Mrs. Guy's name.
Yes. So it's really difficult to find them then if you can't even find out what their first name or maiden name is.
How do you overcome that? Or how did you overcome that for some of the women you researched?
So we have lots of great resources at the library that I used, like Ancestry.com and Family Search. And we actually have a program coming up on March 21st that will teach you how to research the women in your family tree and kind of unravel those mysteries. So I hope everybody will join us on March 21st at 2 p.m. at the library.
And what were some of the qualities you were looking for as you marked the lives of these women? What kind of stories were you searching for?
I was just looking for big accomplishments, like, you know, were they part of the first graduating class of Lawrence, or did they go on to become a Nobel Prize winning author, things like that. What kind of stuck out in their story that was very interesting that I thought other people would find interesting?
Well, let's meet a few of the women you share in this. This one sounds familiar. Sarah Appleton. Can you talk about her? And I can think of maybe at least one contribution she might have made to Appleton history.
Yeah. So some people don't know this, but Sarah Appleton is the reason why Appleton is named Appleton. So she is the wife of Amos Lawrence, who was responsible for bringing Lawrence University to Appleton. And then kind of the city grew around it. So in thanks for the city growing around it and Amos Lawrence's contribution of getting the college there, they named Appleton after Sarah Appleton, which was her maiden name. Interesting, though, there are some conflicting stories that say that Sarah's cousin, Samuel Appleton, is the namesake of Appleton. And that's because Reader Smith, who was an Appleton pioneer who owned a lot of land in Appleton, he was trying to get some money for the Lawrence University Library. And so he told Samuel Appleton, hey, we named this city after you. You should give us some money. And unfortunately, you know, people believed that then, and so did Samuel Appleton, and he ended up giving money. But it is after Sarah Appleton. So it's kind of a story of, you know, women sometimes not getting credit for what they're due.
Let's meet one of the other women, Bersina Corbin Artis. Tell us about her.
Yeah, so Bersina Artis was a well-known resident of Appleton. She was an African-American born into slavery, and she actually told her story to the Post-Crescent in 1903 in this amazing article that I found. And it's part of the exhibit. I don't want to spoil her whole story, but she had some brutal abuse, and she was able to escape slavery. And it's just a really heartbreaking story that she has. And her husband, Horace, he was actually a Union soldier in the colored troops in the Civil War. And we actually just named an alleyway after the artist family.
Yeah, I saw that. You are not just doing this display, you're kind of honoring the history of some of these women and other people on the local landscape. Are there a lot of changes like that being made?
Yeah, so there's quite a few women that that's kind of part of how I got my list of women to feature was looking at why some of the streets are named after certain people. And looking into those people, I was able to find these amazing women's stories.
Talking to Katie Stilp, local history librarian at the Appleton Public Library, looking at an exhibit honoring a bunch of women, key women in Appleton history. Now, this is probably the best known name of the women, at least that I saw on the list, the author Edna Ferber. Can you talk about her career and her Appleton connection?
Yeah, so she's a Pulitzer Prize-winning novelist. She moved to Appleton at the age of 12, and she worked for the newspaper in Appleton. And several of her novels that she wrote were actually made into movies or musicals. So she is probably one of the more well-known women that I featured.
And is she kind of a household name in Appleton? Is this one person who people kind of say, yeah, we definitely feel that connection with her?
Absolutely. I would feel like if she isn't, then you must be living under a rock in Appleton.
Now, you also included women who are still living, not just women from the distant past. Why was it important to you to do that?
Because I think it's important to show that, you know, even women who are her current, they're important too. And I wanted to show, like, young girls and young women that, hey, it isn't just these historical women that are doing awesome things. It's women nowadays that are doing awesome things. And you can do something like that. They did.
Can you share a couple of the contemporary people you honor?
So one person was Mimua. She's one that stood out to me. She was the first Hmong American to be elected to a state legislature in the United States. And she had a really interesting story as well. She was born in Laos, and her family fled the country during the Vietnam War. And they lived in a refugee camp for a little bit before they came to the United States. And she spent most of her young adulthood growing up in Appleton. And they were one of the few families of color at that time, even before most of the Hmong came to the United States. She ended up studying law at the University of Minnesota and continuing in Minnesota, unfortunately, instead of coming back to Appleton. But she was part of the Minnesota Senate and served for a total of 9 years.
With the women who are still living, were you able to talk to them and flesh out their stories for the exhibit?
I wasn't. I think time-wise, it was just too difficult to try to reach out to them, try to find contact information from them. I mean, especially like Greta Van Susteren. Uh-huh. She's just so famous. She's not going to talk to some crazy librarian in Appleton.
Now, going back into the historical part of things, how can people go about researching women maybe from their own families or their own local histories?
So we have lots of really great library resources. We have Ancestry.com. We have Family Search. We have lots of newspapers that you can find articles and obituaries from the women in your family tree. And like I said before, we have a program coming up on March 21st on how to research the women in your family tree at 2 o'clock. Every year we offer what's called our Find Your Ancestors series that runs from November to March, and it's once a month on any given Saturday, and we do a different genealogy topic every month.
Are you hoping the exhibit will help inspire another generation of maybe girls today to become notable women in Appleton's future?
Absolutely. There's always the hope that women are going to continue being awesome and continue doing awesome things.
Katie, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Yes, thanks for having me.
That's Katie Stilp, the local history librarian behind the Appleton Historical Society's exhibit on 20 notable women from Appleton. As we mentioned earlier, the Historical Society is closed until further notice, but you can read more about the exhibit in an article on our website, wpr.org/centraltime.